If you have your Bibles with you, you can open up to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Let me just get situated for a moment. How many knows we're talking about truth? God puts a high standard on truth, doesn't He? Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And as us blood-bought children of God, we should put a high standard on truth. In fact, we should hold to our word and only speak truth out of our lips. Now, before we get started again, if anybody's ever heard of CERN, you may have heard of CERN on Sunday. I talked about it, C-E-R-N. This is a big organization. And they've created something that's it's called a Large Hadron Collider. It's a massive thing that's underground. And their whole purpose in creating this thing in particular is to try to recreate the Big Bang, how they think the universe was created, how they think the Earth and everything was created. And I went into all these details about it. I'll just read you a couple sentences here. It says, and this is off of their website, so you can be assured that you can go on their website and research this yourself. It says, the accelerator complex at CERN is a succession of machines that accelerate particles to increasingly higher energies. Each machine boosts the energy of a beam of particles before injecting the beam into the next machine in the sequence. In the Large Hadron Collider, LHC is what they call it, the last element in this chain, particle beams, are accelerated up to the record energy of 4 TeV per beam. Most of the other accelerators in the chain have their own experimental halls where beams are used for experiments at lower energies. The proton source is a simple bottle of hydrogen gas. An electric field is used to strip hydrogen atoms of their electrons to yield protons. LINAC 2, the first accelerator in the chain, accelerates the protons to an energy of 50 MeV. The beam is then injected into the proton synchrotron booster. Now, I know that most of you don't understand what they're talking about, but what they actually do is they take these different particles. Now, this thing is miles long. It's 27 meters long. It's probably much larger than this room is around. And this thing is, I believe it's 17 miles long. 17 miles long under the ground. 300 feet underneath the Earth's surface. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to recreate the Big Bang. They're trying to find out, according to their website, the mysteries of our existence. Now, Stephen Hawking, has anybody heard of him? Is considered one of the most intelligent men in the land today, one of the most intelligent people alive. And his IQ is off the charts. He's been compared to Einstein. And he has spoken to these people and warned them. He said that what you're doing has a high potential to destroy the entire universe. I hope you heard me. They said that what they're about, what they do inside of this large Hadron Collider has the literal potential to destroy not the Earth, not a couple planets, but to destroy the entire universe. Now, I've watched the videos on CERN. They know for a fact that it has the potential to create beneath itself a black hole that'll go clear through to the other side of the Earth. It would not only destroy the Earth, but it would destroy a majority of humanity, if you ask my opinion about it. They know it has the potential to do that, but they're willing to take the risk. Now, wouldn't the logical mind think that's absolutely ridiculous to take such a risk to possibly destroy not only the earth and all humanity, but to destroy the entire universe? I'm going to make a point out of this. People will go to great lengths just so they don't have to believe the truth. We're going to talk a little bit about creation today and the truth of God's Word. But before we do that, I want to read you something that is on NASA's website, if I can find it here. NASA, well, maybe this is not on NASA's website, but NASA said these words anyhow. They said liquid water, this is September 28, 2015, the day of the last of the four of the quadrant of blood moons. Also the day that the Pope, who's the man of the year, Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. The Pope, Francis, is the man of the year. Everybody loves this man. And he, on his last day, went to New York to a meeting called Ground Zero, which is a united meeting of religions. Now, my Bible says, and your Bible says in 2 John, that we are supposed to say Godspeed to anyone who does not accept that Jesus is the Son of God in context. If they don't accept that Jesus is the Son of God, if we say Godspeed to you, if we say God bless you in your work, in your religious work, that we are literally become a partaker of their wicked work. That's what we become. And that means what it says. Now, the Pope not only got up there with, I believe it was six other religions, he didn't get up there and just grant them Godspeed, but he partook of a religious service with them, which is the formation of what you would understand as the mystical Babylon, Revelation 17. This is the religion that's going to form in the earth. This is not the Antichrist kingdom. Most people say, well, this is a one world religion, this is the Antichrist. But what they don't understand is that when the Antichrist sets up his kingdom on this earth, that it's not going to be just some one world religion, it's going to be a one man religion, where he demands worship of him and him alone. So I can tell you to rest assured that, yes, this one world religion that they're trying to form is a sign of the end times, but it is not the Antichrist kingdom, not even remotely close. In fact, according to your Bible, Revelation chapter 17, it says the beast and the ten kings will hate the whore, which is this one world religion that's formed, and they're going to hate her, and they're going to destroy her. They're going to burn her with fire and eat her flesh. They want to destroy this religious system that is in formation stages right now, because we are in the last seconds of the last days. So the Pope met with them, granted them Godspeed, partook of a religious service with them in the name of Christianity. But I can assure you that any true Christian would not grant Godspeed or partake of any religious service with anyone else who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe Jesus is a prophet, all right, but it's not enough. You cannot just believe that Jesus is a prophet. Jesus was a prophet, yes, but Jesus also is the Son of God. The Son of God. Amen. The only Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. The only begotten of the Father. The Son of Man, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, the thief, that's the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and life more abundantly. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus, in all eternity's past, was not known as Jesus, nor the Son of God, nor the Son of Man. He did not become the Son of God until he was born incarnate of the Virgin Mary. That's when he was born as the Son of God. Before that, he always existed as the mighty Logos, who's the creator of not only everything every atom and every particle that you're sitting on in your chair, but the creator of this planet, the creator of all planets, the creator of the entire universe, Jesus Christ. A lot of people like to think that God the Father is the creator, but by the time we're done at this teaching, you'll see that very in plain English that Jesus was the one who created all things. So they're going, you know, they said liquid water has been found on Mars on September 28th, along with the Pope's thing and the President, Vladimir Putin of Russia. The leader of Russia was in Moscow, and they were dedicating a 10,000-person mosque to another counterfeit or false religion, all on the same day. There's a whole lot of religious things going on, but they're all outside of God's Word on that day. Except for us over here in West Dallas who are praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, they said liquid water on Mars, NASA confirms. Next step closer to finding Martian life. Martian, that's aliens. Now the Pope already made a declaration that he's ready to baptize aliens just a few months back. He baptized them. It's all part of Satan's deception. Get ready for it. They've programmed you through the social media. They've programmed you through the movies. They've already got you ready for some kind of alien manifestation. But I can tell you that there is no aliens. Forget about it. And when they do appear, you can rest assured that they're not aliens like they claim to be. They are demonic spirits. They are fallen angels. The Apostle Peter said, he said, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. Angels look just like men. Every angel in your scripture, not one of them look like a woman, although I have heard of fallen angels or fallen demonic spirits that look like women, but I've never heard of a godly angel that looks like a woman. They all look like men, very similar to men. And Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15. He said about his apostles, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workmen, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So these demonic spirits that they're anticipating to manifest, they think they're aliens. There's no question it's going to happen eventually, whether it happens before the rapture or not. But I want you to remember my words and look up at my shaven face today. And I'm telling you right now that they are not aliens. You got it? You understand? I'm telling you they're not aliens. They're going to tell you they're aliens. They may look like aliens. They may look like what they have taught you aliens are. It does not make any difference. They are demonic spirits. Amen. And they are of Satan himself. They are not of God. They are ungodly abominations in the eyes of God. They say that this water found on Mars is the next step closer to finding Martian life. So this is another deception. And the reason they're going to great lengths, the reason NASA, the reason the government, the reason CERN, the reason all these people are spending billions of us taxpayers' dollars to try to find all these mysteries of creation is because they refuse to acknowledge what is truth. So we're going to be talking about what the truth is tonight. I encourage everyone to stay in the service. Let's just talk briefly for a moment. And I'm not yelling at you. When we come together in public, this is God's service. The Holy Ghost has taken over. Amen. This is not my service. This is not my church. I do not own this church. I own nothing. Everything that I have belongs to God. And when we assemble together in public, if you have to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom before the service. You don't run in and out of the classroom. You don't run in and out of God's classroom. How much more disrespectful it is to God to be up and moving around when God's trying to speak into your life. It's not me. I'm just the vessel. All I am is the one who relays the message. This is coming straight from God. And you'll find out when you get to heaven that it was Jesus that was preaching you the whole time. And all I was just a clay vessel that he used. Amen. You'll find that out. You can rest assured at it. God's trying to speak into your life. So if God came down off his throat and started preaching at you, would you listen? Would you pay attention? Would you take notes? I encourage you to do so now, and I'm not God. I told you I'm just a vessel, but the Holy Ghost is trying to speak at you now. So we want to be very reverent during the services. We want to be very quiet, and we want to pay attention. If you got to shout and yell praises, because God likes to hear them. That we don't mind during the service. You can praise God all you want. Amen? So the reason they're coming up with all these things is because they refuse to acknowledge the truth. Now let me tell you what the truth is today. Can I just tell you what the truth is today? Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It's God's word that is the truth. Amen. He said in 1 Timothy 3:15, he said, "The church of the living God, which is the pillar and the foundation of the truth." We as true Christians, true believers, there's many false believers out there. Nowadays, it seems to me that there's, if you want my opinion, there's more false believers than truth. And it is not my job, it's not my place to judge the body of Christ, but I am to make judgments based upon God's word. And if they don't line up with the word, then I have to tell you that they're not a true church of God. They set up their mega churches. Overnight, there is 1,000 people in these churches. They put on big light shows, big displays and skits. And they tell you a warm, fuzzy message that hits the heart, but there's no conviction, there's no power, there's no manifestation of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why. Because Satan's the one that plants these churches. I say this before, I said this again, Ed Dufresne is a prophet of God. I believe he was a true prophet of God. He passed away a few years back in an airplane crash. But before he went home to be with the Lord, he got caught up to heaven. And God told him in the last days there's going to be two churches, and he described these churches. He called one of them the church of the flesh, and one of them the church of the spirit. And he made it very clear, and I listened to Ed explain it. He said the church of the flesh only mentally assents to Jesus and the resurrection and the cross. He only mentally assents. It's a mental belief in Jesus, but there's no conviction. There's no true, genuine repentance in their lives. But the church of the Spirit is the one who lines up with the Word of God. That's the best way I can sum up what he said. So we want to be in a true church of God, and a true church of God, that, you know, God said, is not, you know, he said about the false prophets. He said, "Let the prophet who has a dream recall the dream, but let the one who speaks my word do it faithfully." Jeremiah 23. And then he said, "What does chaff have to do with wheat?" Now, we know the chaff is the garbage. It's mixed in with the wheat. He said, "What does chaff have to do with wheat?" Now, we know so that Jesus, his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor. He said that he would gather his wheat into his barn and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And he's going to sort it out. So what he's saying is there's a difference between the word and words that seem like the word. And then he says, therefore, he says, "I am against the prophets who steal words from each other, and that they declare that this is the word of the Lord." They steal words from each other. And that's it. Most of you don't know this. Maybe you're a little sheltered. Let me give you a little hint. A lot of these claiming pastors in these mega churches will listen to someone else's sermon. How many times, Michelle? How many? Four or five? Four or five times, however many times. Michelle knows this. She talked to these pastors. This is a fact. They'll listen to some other guy's sermon four or five times, and they get up here and they just repeat his message. There's no anointing there. It's just memorization. Now, how do they know where that other guy got his message from? Where did he get his message from? Where did the guy before him that he got his message from get his message from? So that's why I said, what does chaff have to do with wheat? He says, therefore, I'm against the prophets who steal words from each other. They listen to each other's message and declare this is the word of the Lord. He says, yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and declare that this is the Lord's word. You can read about that in Jeremiah 23. We're talking about truth here. Because these mega churches popping up, and God has nothing wrong at mega churches, But the problem is, if they are willing to compromise the truth to gain disciples after themselves, God is against them. In fact, there's going to be a very strict judgment for such people who are willing to compromise the truth. Now, I'm here to tell you what the truth is. He said that His Word comes forth with conviction. Jesus said, the one whom God has sent will speak the words of God. John chapter 3. God Himself said, is not My Word, in that same scripture, Jeremiah 23, right when He was talking about that, He said, is not My Word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? In other words, My words are to convict. My words are to expose darkness. My words are to break the foundation of unrighteousness, to break the foundation of all the subtle lies, and to lay a foundation of truth beneath My people. Amen. Truth. What is truth, Jesus said? Pilate said that. What is truth? What is truth? We want to know the truth. So I'm here to tell you the truth tonight. Now let's find out what creation really came from. We don't need to build some billion-dollar, 17-mile-long, 300 feet beneath the ground, 27 meters around, large Hadron Collider to figure out where creation came from. We don't have to go fly all the way to Mars to figure out where existence came from. All we have to do is listen not to our heads but to our hearts, and God's Word tells us exactly where everything came from. And God's Word is truth. So here we go. You can just listen now. Nehemiah 9:6. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens. So that's where the heavens, that's where the universe came from. It says, the Lord, you've made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You gave life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. That sums it up. It's all right there. Everything that we know of that is alive, everything that we stand on, it comes from God. Now, if we want to agree with the truth, we can agree with the truth. You know, we'll maybe come back to this, but Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 45:7, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity, I am the Lord who does all these. Isaiah 66:2, for my hand made all these things. Thus, all these things came into being, declares the Lord. Ephesians 3:9, He said this, which for ages past has been kept hidden in God who created all things. Revelation 4:11, worthy are You, our Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. Psalm 96:5, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Isaiah 37:16, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, who is enthroned above the cherubim, You are the God, You alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, You have made heaven and earth. Jeremiah 10:11, thus You shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. In other words, these idols, CERN has one sitting right in front of it. They got that false god, that big idol sitting right in front of it. They worship that thing, and the god of destruction, and that thing didn't create nothing. God did it, the only God. 1 Timothy 4:4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. So God created everything. It's good. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it as a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. No other God. Doesn't matter what they try to convince you. Psalm 8:3-8. When I consider Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars, which You have ordained. And that's, so God created everything. Now, Psalm 103, excuse me, Psalm 100, verse 3, "Know the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Psalm 139, 13, "For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb." So God created us. Isaiah 42, 5, "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spreads out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it." Acts 17, 26 to 28, "And He, God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and exist, have our being. Even as some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring." 1 Corinthians 8, 6, "Yet for us there's but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we exist." Hebrews 1, 2, "In the last days He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the world." It's through Jesus. Job 33, 4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Psalm 104, 30, "You sent forth Your Spirit, they are created. You send forth Your Spirit, they are created, and You renew the face of the ground." Psalm 33, 6, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their hosts." Psalm 33, 9, "For He spoke and it was done, He commanded and it stood fast." That's in regards to creation. Proverbs 3, 19, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens." Jeremiah 10, 12 through 13, "It is He who made the heaven, made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. When He utters His voice, there is tumult of waters in the heavens. And He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from its storehouses." Job 26, 7, "He stretches out the north over empty space, and hangs the earth on nothing." What does the earth hang on? Nothing. That's what the Bible says. Do you agree with me? He says He hangs the earth on nothing. It's just sitting out there on nothing. And they wonder, I don't understand. We're trying to figure out where everything came from when all these planets are perfect. You look from them from a satellite, they're all perfectly around. They all spin at the same speed every single year. They all, every single star in the universe, they say, is a sun to other planets. Every planet has its own sun. Everything orbits at a perfect speed. The earth goes around at 1,000 miles an hour every single year. It sits in the same spot. And they think that some big bang created that? Are you kidding me? That's got to be the most foolish thoughts anybody's ever thought in their head. There is no way there can be that kind of order to the entire universe. And that to happen randomly from explosion. If you take a firecracker, you can take as many firecrackers as you want and explode them, and all they will create is destruction. Not one of them. There will be no order. There's never been order that comes out of chaos. God did these things. Romans 4:17, "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of Him whom we believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls things that be not as though they were." God, according to Hebrews, spoke everything into existence. We might get over there. Isaiah 44, 24, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the one who formed you from the womb, I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone." He did it. Deuteronomy 30, 20, "By loving the Lord your God and obeying His voice and holding fast to Him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Now, He's our life and the length of our days. He's the one that gave us life. Job 9, 8 through 9, he says, who alone stretches out the heavens and tramples down the waves of the sea, who makes the Bear Orion, Pleiades, and the Chamber of the South. So all the constellations, it says right here, God created the constellations. Now they worship them now. These occultists, they worship the stars, they worship all this stuff, but it says right here that God created them. As signs and seasons, signs that God has ordered to His universe. Psalm 104, 2 through 4, covering yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds His chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. He makes the winds His messengers. Now, the word winds should translate spirits. He makes spirits His messengers. He's talking about the angels. Flaming fire His ministers. Matthew 5, 4 and 5. 45. So that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's like He said in Acts. He said, God, He sends rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides us with plenty of food and fills our hearts with joy. Now, Matthew 6, 28. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil or spin. Yet I say you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. If God clothes the grass of the field. So God did it. God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown in the fire. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Psalm 33, 14. From His dwelling place, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. So God's looking down on us from heaven because He created us. He loves us. Psalm 121, 2, 3, 8. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God. It is You who have made the heavens and the earth. By Your great power and Your outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for You. Remember that. God created it, and there's nothing too hard for You. If He can create the heavens and the earth, surely He can pay Your bills for You. Amen? We've got to believe Him when we need to work. He said, the man that does not work shall not eat. Matthew 19, 4 through 6. Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning, made them male and female. So God created us. Psalm 91 through 3, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were bringing forth, forever You have formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. 2 Peter 3:5, for they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth is formed out of water, and through water by the Word of God. Amen. Now, we're going through a lot of scriptures here, and that's okay. If you have your Bible with you, you know you're in Genesis, but just go on over to Isaiah 40 for a moment. I'll show you something. These are good scriptures for you to underline in your Bible, so when somebody is an atheist, you may want to bring them to some of these. I run into a lot of atheists. And the other day, the man told me he was an atheist, and I tried to give him a few scriptures. He said, yeah, I bet the Bible says many things. He said, I'm perfectly happy to go to hell forever. That's what he told me. He was an atheist. And the woman walking with him, who's his girlfriend, I'm assuming, she claimed to be a believer. Now, the Bible says not to yoke ourselves together with unbelievers. So she's a disobedient believer if she is one at all. Not supposed to be dating them. That is, if we really are true Christians who obey God. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know, have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? That's what God would say to those people over there at CERN. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, I suppose you can go over to Genesis 1 now. I'm going to just, since we're going with all these scriptures, I'm giving you infallible proof that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, someone will say to me, well, that's your opinion, preacher. That's what you want to believe, but this is what I want to believe. Well, we will address that if you continue to listen. Now, I don't think I will go through the whole chapter, but it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth is out form and voidless. It was without form and void. And darkness is on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. That's the firmament. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the land produce vegetation. He's telling you where everything came from, right in this one chapter. Everything. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. Land produced vegetation. Plant-bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit, seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as to mark signs and seasons. Signs and seasons. That's the sun, moon, and stars. They're all for signs and seasons. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, that's the sun. And the lesser light to govern the night, that's the moon. He also made the stars, which again are suns to every... There's a planet for every one of those stars out there, they say. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. Never think about that. I mean, why is every single planet got its own light? Think about that. And he said he did this to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing, which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. I want you to notice also that it says everything God created was good over and over. It wasn't originally in the state that it's in right now. That's from sin and the devil. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. Not evolving into different kinds. According to their kinds. Try to mate a dog with a cat. You ain't going to get anything out of it. It doesn't work that way. They're all according to their kinds, it says. And all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man. So this is where we came from. Let us make man in our image and our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock over all the earth and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God said, I'll give you every seed-bearing plant on the earth, of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit and seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. There was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Now going over to Genesis chapter 5. Now some people still say, preacher, you haven't convinced me yet. Well, just hang in there. We'll show you a little more. Genesis 5:1. This is an account of Adam's line. When God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, He called them man. And then He goes into the genealogy. So again, God created them. Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man's blood, his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. God made man. Going over to Job chapter 38. Job is one of my favorite books here. And in particular, I really enjoy the scriptures on creation, because God calls Job to account for his words, and he spoke many foolish words. Let me just try to find it here, this four-way Bible. And, you know, God was not pleased with his friend's conduct, who accused God of everything the devil was doing, like so many do today. Now, if an atheist stands to God on judgment, there's a good shot at it that God would say these exact words to him. This is what God would ask him, some questions, since they don't believe in God. It says in verse 38, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Tell me God can't be sarcastic? Sure He can. God speaks in every form of human communication. Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang for joy and the angels shouted? When the morning stars sang together and the angels shouted for joy. Which means that the angels were created before the earth. Verse 8. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When it made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther? Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the shadow of the deep shadows? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. What is the way to the abode of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? Do you know the paths of their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You lived so many years. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times in trouble, for days of war and battle? Now, those of you that understand Revelation, it's saying that these, they're for the wrath of God. God's the one that, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, he says, the clouds are not the one that send rain. The Lord, he says, I'm the one that sends the rain. So next time the weatherman says, talks about all these clouds, you can rest assured that it's not the clouds sending the rain. It's God sending the rain through the clouds. Amen? God's in control here, whether they like it or not. Now, have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place of the lightning is dispersed? Or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain? And a path for the thunderstorm? To water a land where no man lives, a desert with no one in it. To satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass. Does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? Now the reason I'm reading this is because you've been trained to think that all this stuff is just happening. You watch it happen year after year, but you don't realize that every little thing, every time that sun rises, God tells it to do it. The earth turns at a certain speed because God told it to do it. Some say, that's your opinion, preacher. No, it's not. This is the truth. I am here today to tell you what the truth is. I don't care what you've been taught in your schools. I don't care what the most intelligent minds on this earth have taught you. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's a lie. God's word is the only truth in the universe. And the church is a pillar and foundation of it. There is no other God. There may be other false gods, but there's only one true God who's the creator of the heavens and the earth. From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? When the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? Again, the constellations. Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons and lead the bear out with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? Who endowed the heart with wisdom or gave understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander for lack of food? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Can you count the mountains till they bear? Now, I'm not going to go through all of these, but I encourage you to read this over and over to get this in you, establishing a foundation of truth. Now, real quick, if you go on over to the book of John, Pastor Dan, all you're doing is reading a scripture. There's no reason to do anything more. God's Word says it all. It's all in there. It's all we need to know is God's Word. It's got everything to be successful in life, to overcome sin so we don't go to hell. Everything we need to be prosperous financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially. All the information is in this book. It's all in there. You can read it when you get home. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through Him all things were made. Through who? Jesus. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Verse 10, He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now, I'm just going to quote some scriptures at you for sake of time. He says in Colossians 1, he said, he's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things are created by him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he might have the supremacy. Notice it said, in him all things are hold together. That's talking about Jesus. That means that the very atoms that the science, I told you that I used to work in a laboratory, and they put that metal, we'd make it as smooth as it can, and then they would put that thing under I believe it was like the 10,000th power, so you could see every little molecule of that metal. And there was a gap in between all of them. And science will tell you, even this smooth metal here, there's gaps in between all those atoms. What's holding it together? Jesus. In him all things hold together. Amen? He's the one that holds all things together. Now, I'm going to read something to you, because we're talking about truth. Hebrews, I'm just going to quote this to you. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So it's faith. That's what it is. And that's because of sin. The reason it's so hard for you atheists to believe is because of the sin nature that entered into man when they disobeyed God. Instead of it being natural for them to believe, it became natural for them to doubt. And if we refuse to acknowledge God and seek him, that wicked nature grows in its doubt. It grows on the negative end to your own destruction because you refuse to acknowledge him. So instead of it being natural to believe in God and believe that he's the creator of all things, through sin, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, Romans 5:12, because of that sin nature being developed because people don't want to acknowledge God, it's developed on the negative end and it becomes more and more difficult to believe God. And when those schools keep teaching you evolution, the end result is it becomes even more difficult to believe that God created everything because they're telling you he didn't. Every word of evolution, they're telling you God didn't create it. Every single word. Every word out of their mouths. They are firmly establishing the fact in your heart that God doesn't exist. Guard your heart. Out of it flows the issues of life. He says to guard it with all diligence. Now I'm going to read something to you from Romans 1, and this is your pinnacle of the whole thing here. Romans chapter 1. Then we're going to send you on your way, but I want to pray for you. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. Verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth. The truth. The truth. The truth is that God is the creator of everything. He created you. He loves you. He gave you life. You say, why is all these bad things happening? What about all the good things that happen to you? If God is real, then why is there so much evil in the world? If God isn't real, why is there so much good in the world? Think about it. If God isn't real, why is there so much good in the world? But there's so much evil. That's because there's a devil. I don't believe in the devil. Well, you don't believe in God either. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes, he must believe that he exists. You can research this. It's a fact that many evolutionists who went into the Bible to prove it's wrong ended up getting born again. Got saved. They found out in there, when they tried to disprove that God is real, they found it in there that God is real. Now they try to disprove evolution by the Bible. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So the reason they can't see the truth that God is a creator is because they suppress it by their what? Their sin. It's sin. And the biggest sin, the sin that God hates the most, is doubt. That's why it's by His grace, even us preachers. I mean, even the best of us preachers. I mean, there's still some subtle doubts in there somewhere. Not necessarily God's the creator, this and that, but to work miracles and things like that. If anybody wants to acknowledge the fact that when we walked in here, they were not lining up the sick, that every single person come out of the hospitals to be healed. And the reason that is because of subtle doubt. Now, we've had many miracles. Not going to deny the fact that we have many miracles. We have them all the time. But until they're emptying the hospitals, there must be some form of doubt there that we're not recognizing yet. Which means that we're all sustained by God's grace, aren't we? Thank God, because if He hates doubt that much, hallelujah. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. He tells you how He made it so plain to us. In other words, if nobody ever preached the gospel to you and you're on the other side of the world, if you refuse to acknowledge that God is real, you're still accountable because His creation proves that He's real. God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Well, how can we see something invisible? He tells you. Being understood from what has been made, that's creation, so that men are without excuse. In other words, there is no excuse. If you want to look out there, Mr. Atheist, and say that there is no God because I don't believe He's there, then we also have a right to say that we believe there is a God because we just choose to believe He's there. And if you believe there's no God, what is your foundation to say there is no God? Because I can say there is a God because if there is a creation, there has to be a creator. If there's a universe, which you might want to know means one spoken sentence, universe, that means that somebody spoke that sentence and created all things. God who calls those things to be not as though they were. God spoke everything to existence. It says, by faith we understand that by God's word, the heavens existed. In other words, God spoke it into existence. So if we don't want to believe that, that's foolish. He says in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. God created all these things. Why is this so important? Because of the lies out there. I want to get a firm foundation in this so they can't convince you that he's not the real and only true living God that created all things. God did it. You also have to understand, look up here, people. If you didn't realize yet, we're reaching thousands of people online. I'm not just preaching to the people in the room. Amen. And I'm not going to preach a different message to them or you. And the reason is, because this message, even though you may believe all this, when you go outside and run into that atheist, this is supposed to come back out of your mouth. I hope you realize that. When I'm preaching at you and you're thinking, I'm not doing any of these things, Pastor. Why is he preaching this message? I'm not just preaching at you. I'm preaching to you. And the reason I am is because you're supposed to take this message and let it come off your lips now. Because this is what you're going to need for the next week. In fact, I just bet that before this weekend, somebody's going to come up and say, Pastor Dan, I ran into 3-4 atheists right after you preached that message. You watch and see. And I want to hear about it. Happens all the time. Now, when he talks about the word faith in the New Testament, that word faith means the conviction of the truth of anything, belief. It's a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. It's relating to God. It's simply trusting that God is real. It's from the Greek word pistis. Now, the Hebrew word emun For faith is faithfulness trusting. Faithful trusty. It's trusting God. It's trusting that what the Bible says is truth. Now somebody will say, well, the Bible's passed on down through all these generations, preacher. And it doesn't translate the way it used to. That's a lie. That is a lie. That's not true. Because I'm breaking this down from the original Hebrew and the Greek, and I study it all the time. And it means exactly what that Bible in your lap says. I'm telling you, it does. And many other people who've taken the time to learn the Hebrew and Greek language will tell you, yeah, it still is the same as the original. Now, in fact, you can get your hands on the original Septuagint version, which is the same. It was around just a couple hundred years before Christ and the apostles, and that's the same version of the Bible that they use, the Old Testament. The Septuagint, you can get your hands on that. Yeah, but all these new translations, preacher, they're not... You know, I've heard Christians say that, and you know why that's so foolish? Because when they say, well... They tell all these unbelievers, yeah, well, you're right, these new translations are bad. That's a lie. That's not true. Because a lot of those translations that may not be 100% accurate word for word are not translations. They're paraphrases, and they don't claim to be translations. That's foolish. And every time a Christian says that out of their mouth, they are giving further proof to the world that God's word is not accurate. Instead, you ought to say that those are paraphrases, and the reason they're out there is to help possibly give someone who's just getting used to the Word of God better understanding of it. Amen. They're going to be accountable for running around saying the Bible's not accurate. Because I guarantee if you pull up the most common 26 translations of the Bible today and read them all together, you're going to find out they basically say the exact same thing. All of them. All of them. Even the paraphrases will expound upon that revelation that's in there. Most of them are real accurate. There's only a few out there. Out of the hundreds of translations, there's only a few out there that I don't prefer to another. You want a biblically accurate translation in the United States in an American language? The New American Standard Bible is the most accurate. King James Version is very accurate. The NIV 1984 is very accurate, and the Amplified Version takes the Greek and Hebrew words and breaks them down for you. How much more accurate could you get? The Bible is God's Word. Give me some other facts, preacher. The Bible, in spite of our Kindles, our technology, all the information that's available at your fingertips with technology, your e-books and all this stuff, in spite of that fact, it's still the number one selling book every single year. Amen. Why is that? You don't need it anymore. You don't need paper. You got all this technology. Why is it still the number one selling book? Because God wrote the book. It always will be the number one selling book. Because the author is God. So I just want to encourage you with these words today that you can have confidence that God is real. He's still there. He gives you life and breath. He loves you. He loves you so much that He died for your sins. Up there on that cross, He sent His Son Jesus on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. Otherwise, you would have had to go up on that cross. You would have had to become the curse for the broken law of sin that you had broken. But instead, Jesus loved you enough that He decided, even though He was God, even though He sat up there on that throne, to come down and suffer as your substitute for His whole life, basically tempted by the devil for 33 years, never sinned, overcame him. He says He had to cry. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Tempted. He had to go through all the temptations and suffering, but He chose not to sin. He chose to obey God fully because He loved you that much, that He wanted to pay the penalty for your sins. And He did. He died as your substitute. He paid the penalty for your sins. And He loved you enough not just to go to hell for you for 3 days and three nights, to take your sin worm out of every organ, out of every opening in His body, that worm in and out. Maggot. It translates maggot in the Hebrew. It's a literal maggot. It's an eternal maggot. Those that choose to disobey God and live for themselves, they're going to have that maggot eat them forever. Where the fire is not quenched, the worm never dies. He chose to go there for you, so you don't have to go there. He loves you. God loves you enough to put preachers in your path who tell you the truth, to tell you that the wages of sin is death. If you keep living in sin and serving yourself, you're going to go to hell. He loves you enough to warn you. No, I don't want anybody to go to hell. No. Even my worst enemy, and believe me, I've had many, don't want them to go to hell. I love that person. I love everybody. I love you. God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you even when you're not living right. He loves you enough to send Jesus. When you are dead in your sins. So I just want to encourage you to recognize God's love, that He loves you enough to create. You say, well, my life's not that great. Got all these bad things taken. You ever stop to consider that maybe you just have a bad attitude and you're not thinking positively? If you looked at all the good, if you sat down and wrote all the good things you got, you may have a mom, you may have a dad, maybe you don't. You may have grandkids. You may have family. You may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You may have a spouse that loves you. You may have animals. You may have a shelter over your head. You may not. You may have transportation. You may not. You may have money. You may not. But you're still alive. You're breathing. You're enjoying life. You got to enjoy the nice day today. There's many things to be thankful for. It says they neither glorified God nor gave thanks to Him, so their foolish hearts are darkened, and they were separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. That's Romans 1 and Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. And this is what the Lord says. He said, the time has come to let go of all questioning and reasoning concerning my word, to stand up and fight the good fight of faith, to believe everything that has been spoken, to believe everything that you've heard. Stand up and rejoice in the midst of your trials. Stand up and lift up your voice. For these trials are only for a little while. For these trials have come as a testing to prove your faith. These trials have come, but they are not strong enough to overcome my grace. For my grace is sufficient for those who are willing to hear. My grace is sufficient every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every year. So come boldly unto my throne of grace. Get down on your knees and seek me with all diligence. Seek my face, and I will bring to pass that which you believe me for with your whole heart. I have you in my hand. I will never leave you. We will never part. For it is your faith that's been tested, so it will come forth as gold. But it's my word that stands true in the heavens, and it's my word that you must take hold. So stand up and lift up your voice and rejoice in the midst of trial. Rejoice and give great praise. Rejoice and worship me. For I have not left you, says the Lord God Almighty. I have not forsaken you. I am your Creator, who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. I give you life. I give you breath. I give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So walk with me. Take hold of my hand and do not let go. Take hold of my hand and grab and hold strong. For it is your choice to follow me. I've done all I can do. It's up to you. So yield to me. Yield to my spirit and allow me to see you through, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and worship Him. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus, for the healing that we needed. We praise you, Jesus, for the miracle that we needed. We thank you, Jesus, that you're working in our lives, in our finances, in every realm of life. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your preservation, your healing, your deliverance. You're our conqueror, Lord, and you've made us more than conquerors in you. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. Help us, guide us, direct us in every affair of life. Help us to believe, Lord. Help us to overcome our unbelief. We give you glory and honor and praise that you are the truth, Jesus. You're the only way. You're the only Son of God. He who has a Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life, says the Lord. So when this one world religion forms, if we're still here before the rapture happens, just remember, they're going to try to convince you that we worship the same God. But I'm telling you, you can ask them if they believe Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for our sins and resurrected, and they will say they do not believe that. Which means that they don't worship Jesus as the Son of God, and Jesus is God, which means that they do not worship the same God as us. If they don't worship Jesus as God, they're not worshiping the same God. They have made a graven image, which was the first commandment, don't have any other graven images, have no other gods before me. They have made a graven image. They've created God into a God that He cannot be. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all strange teachings. Hebrews 13:8-9. He also said, I am the Lord, I change not. So if God is, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He doesn't change, and He's also, you know the word Jehovah, which is the Creator, it means the self-existent, eternal, immutable one. Well, in unity, that's in unity of all three members of the Godhead. Immutable means He doesn't change. So if He doesn't change, and Jesus was the Son of God, that means that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is always going to be the Son of God. Jesus is God. And as long as you have Jesus, you have life. As the Son of God, not as a prophet. Amen. We know He was a prophet, but He's also the Son of God. You're thinking, why is this so important? You're going to find out in just a little while, if we're still here, why it's so important. Because they're trying to tell you that we worship the same God. All these religions. We don't worship the same God. Amen? So be ready. Stand up against deception. Remember that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow night for prayer.